Well, we're going to get right into our preaching, our message tonight, Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 11, 12, and 13 as we continue through this book. And trust it's a blessing to you tonight, Galatians chapter number 6, and we'll look at verse 11 and 12 and 13. It's a joy again to just to get to be in the singing, and I think that God has just touched our service, and I'm so thankful that He has. A joy to get to help a mission agency, which in turn helps missionaries, and then get to sing together and fellowship together, and thankful for all of it. Galatians 6, verse 11, you see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand, the apostle God using him to close up the letter here in the next verses. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain, they urge you, they're trying to get you to do this, they constrain you to be circumcised. Of course, that outward act there, which they were all worried about because it showed that they were doing what the Jewish customs wanted them to in the law. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. I'm going to preach for just a little while about this section. I trust it's a blessing to us as we get into it. Father, be with us now as our prayer, and I pray that you'd meet the needs that are represented here tonight, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. We know from other passages of Scripture, Paul probably had some sort of eye problem, and he alludes to it in a sort of a way here in verse number 11. You see how large of letter I've written unto you in my own hand. I had one professor in college, and he was past legally blind, and so it was hard for him to hold papers up to see, but he still served the Lord just like the Apostle Paul did here, and Brother John Lehner would just serve and do things, but he had to adjust. And so some of the writings that Paul had God had used, he was able to have somebody pin them for him. But he says, I've written this unto you with mine own hand. And so we come to this passage, and as we're getting to it, God is showing this people of Galatia why the circumcised, that's the Jewish people, that's the Judaizers, the ones that wanted them to behave in a certain way because it looked good, why those Judaizers were acting in the way that they were. And so as we look at these couple of verses, a few verses, I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I first want you to see in verse number 12 that the people wanted them to change for the wrong reasons. They wanted them changed for the wrong reasons. Change is good. God leads you to do something, as long as it's not against this book. But if it's above this book, and God, you said God wants us to do this for our family, I believe we ought to go to a certain conference, a certain jubilee, a certain whatever. That's great. God's led you and your family to go do that. But just don't come back and say, now everybody who doesn't do what I just did, you're a bunch of low-down, rotten scoundrels if you don't go to that week of camp meeting like I did. There's nothing wrong with going. And you may be wrong if you don't go because God put it on your heart. Just be like this. Somebody comes through and Brother Finley was given the promotion of the mission, and so somebody says, I've decided I'm going to do this for every missionary who comes through. I've got a certain gift, or I've got a certain this, or I've got a certain that. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord put it on your heart. You ought to do it. But just don't look down your nose at everybody else that doesn't do what the Lord led you to do in that certain specific area. So we see in verse number 12, these Judaizers, these people that want these new Christians to come along and do what they say. We see people want them to change for the wrong reasons. Look at verse 12. As many as they desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Anytime we try to make a show, we're in dangerous territory. But it goes on to say they constrain you to be circumcised. That's again to follow that under the law. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So these Judaizers wanted the Gentiles who were getting saved to come be circumcised so that those original Judaizers, those folks that were impressing upon them, so that they wouldn't get the anger thrown on them because of the Jews, because of these Gentiles who were coming in, messing up our religion. About like a church that says, boy, it's wonderful. They say it's wonderful to have new folks come in until some of those new folks, they don't understand some of the traditions, some of the things that you do. And then you've got people saying, boy, they're messing up the whole place. And so they were wanting these people to change, but not for the right reasons, not because God led them to do it, not because they were instructed from heaven, but instead so that they would look good to their friends. So in essence, these Judaizers wanted people to obey that law that they had been under for their own reputations, not for the benefit of the people that were getting saved. Can I tell you a secret? Brother Finley Cutshaw and myself, that we have to be careful that we don't do the same thing, not for circumcision, those different things, but in certain ways that we have to be careful as a pastor of a church. When guests come in, here a good friend comes in, and you want the church to be full, and you want it to be an exciting service, and you want all things to go forward and be bombastic. Why? For the glory of the Lord? No. Just so it can look like you got it all together. Now, don't look so pious at me. It's the same way at your house. We can live with mess and clutter everywhere through that house. But then when somebody comes, what do we do? All right, kids, you ain't got time to play. Get up there and do that. And your mom's going through the house and she says, well, forget about it. They just throw the whole bed out. We don't have time. No, it's just all going to go out. Those clothes are gone. Those closets, no. And you just shove everything in this clothes closet and you push it, push, push, and you hope to the Lord that nobody opens that up and you got everything exactly like you should. And then what happens when that person comes to the door and they ring the bell and you say, oh, come on in. Now it's a mess. I didn't have time to clean up. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You had time to clean up. Matter of fact, you did a deep clean. You threw half the stuff you owned out. And so that's the way sometimes a pastor wants it to be. He says, well, I want it to be a full house, not for the glory of the Lord, just so that the preachers in the area, as they come to revival, boy, look at that church. That's really going and blowing for the Lord. And that's the way these people were. They wanted these new believers to change, and they wanted them to do the things that they wanted them to do, not because Scripture said, but instead so they would look good. Religious manipulation, it's a horrible thing, and it happens in false religions, but it also happens in some quote-unquote good churches, and people get used sometimes as pawns or chess pieces just to make the leaders look good. I only have to say the name Jim Jones to some of the folks in here that were around back in the 70s, and that compound back in 1978, I believe it was, where that horrendous mass suicide at the instruction of that madman was taken up, just because people get religiously manipulated. You know, it's bad to be manipulated, whether it's for a business, whether it's for your own gain, or whether it's for religion. You know that God gets blamed for a lot of stuff, right? A lot of people say, oh, that's in the name of God. Well, God wouldn't be anywhere near much of the things that go on under the banner of religion. But here we see these people want them to change for the wrong reasons. But I want you to look on verse number 13. Not only do they want them to change for the wrong reasons, but they're not keeping the law either. Those that demand so much, they're not keeping it. Look at verse 13. For neither they themselves, they are circumcised. They got that part right, yes. They've been through that ritual. They've got that act taken care of. But neither those are themselves who are circumcised keep the law. So those that demand so much, they're not keeping the law either. So mark it down, these Judaizers, they weren't keeping the law in other areas either. They were just keeping the law in that one area. And you notice when, let me back up. Do you notice what it's so easy to squawk the loudest about? It's what you've already got taken care of. It's something in your life that you don't struggle with. You don't struggle with getting up in the morning. You just bounce out of bed at 4 or 5 o'clock, something like that. Then you get mad at everybody else and you say, wow, you lazy folks sleep all the way till 7 o'clock. You slept in? Well, that's just the way your weird clock works. The rest of us like to sleep a little longer than that. And it's easy to get down on somebody who naturally doesn't do it just exactly like you do. Well, Paul says that these folks that are demanding so much, they're not keeping the law either. Now, I told the Sunday school class I was in today that it's amazing here, if I'm not right on this. If somebody, not only in religion, but everything, if somebody does more than you, they're a fanatic. If somebody does less than you, they're lazy. If somebody keeps their car a higher level of cleanliness than you do, well, it's just spending too much time on it. If they look like they're farming in the floorboards, they do less than you do, that they're just lazy. They keep their lawn up to they don't let any one weed get in there. They're like Steve Smith was on our yard, and our yard's not gotten over us buying the house from Steve and Jeanette. So they don't let one weed get out in there. And you say, boy, that's just spending too much time on that. I ought to be doing something else with this time. But then you got somebody else, looks like a sea of yellow when those dandelions are out. Say, boy, he needs to get on that yard. Somebody else keeping gardening or exercise or whatever else. Do you know where the standard is in that? I am. Not me, whoever's making the statement. You are, whoever's making the statement. Oh man, they're spending too much time on that. According to who? According to how I would do it. They don't take enough pride in that area right there. According to who? According to the person that's staying that. And that's exactly what these Judaizers were doing. For neither they themselves, who are circumcised, yes, but they're not keeping the law in other areas. I hear people say, I live by the New Testament, not by the Old Testament. That's Old Testament. That's under there. And there's lots of ceremonial things that we don't do anymore. Thank the Lord. You can go eat shrimp if you want to. You can have all these different kinds of things. I get all that. But I wonder when people say, oh, I don't live by the Old Testament, live by the New Testament. You like to look at them and say, really? So now is that when Jesus says, like the Old Testament law said, thou shalt not kill? But I say, if you get angry, you've already killed in your heart. I'm wondering if they're following that Old Testament law where Jesus said, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look upon a woman of lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. And so he goes not only in the Old Testament, he brings it forward. Yes, he's right. He brings it right in the New Testament, but he brings it and strengthens it from where it was. Mark it down. Legalism, though, sounds good to certain people. And it usually sounds good to the people in the area that they've already got sewn up. You get on the things that they have struggled with, and then they'll say, oh, liberty, liberty, liberty. not the commercial, liberty, liberty, liberty. I'm talking about, they'll say, liberty, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You thought I was making a commercial there for a little bit. We get on something that they don't have sewn up or that they struggle with, and then they want a lot of grace. And they want, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Give me time. But boy, if we're not careful, and it's not just them, it's us. If there's some area that we don't struggle with very much, it's very easy for us to be judgmental in that. Very easy for us to be too harsh on somebody. And that's exactly what these people were saying. And so Scripture says, they're not keeping the law either. But boy, are they coming down hard on you on that area that they do have settled or sewn up. Guy comes down the neighborhood street 40 mile an hour. I'll lock that fella up. Throw the book at him. And they shouldn't be doing that. It's unsafe. Children be playing out there. But it's amazing that same person doesn't want the state trooper to be too harsh on them when they're going 79 out here on Interstate 26. So we see that those that demand so much, they're not keeping the law either. Let me give you the last one here. Look at the end of verse number 13. I told you they demand so much, but they're not keeping the law, but they want you to make them look good. Verse number 30, but they desire to have you circumcised. Again, go through that Old Testament law ritual. They desire to have you circumcised. Why? The end of the verse tells that they may glory in your flesh. They want you to do something so it makes them look good. But the truth is, we're not supposed to work or serve or be circumcised in this passage or be baptized or teach or stand up or sing or whatever to be seen of men or to the applause of men or so other people would get glory, but all that we do are supposed to be unto Him. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. But these folks wanted themselves to look good, and they thought these little converts coming, these Gentiles, they're not Jews, and so my Jewish friends are really going to be watching out for me, making sure that I'm holding the line on them, so you guys better go do these things. Why? So that you'll be in their good graces? No, so I'll be in their good graces. I noticed this about parents as we've gotten the opportunity to talk with hundreds of them, I guess, over these years. Do you know how what level many parents want their children to obey, to live right at? Many parents that I meet, they want their children to be godly enough just not to embarrass them. I mean, they don't want, like Brother Finley said, they don't want them to go to the mission field. They don't want them to be sold out. They don't want them to go be a bus captain, and that's going to take a lot of time. They don't want them to go full-time, go to a Bible college and go pastor a church somewhere. Well, that's kind of fanatical. Oftentimes, parents, and I hope we don't have too many of those, but they want their kids to live godly enough just to not embarrass them, not cause them any great, oh my goodness, kind of moments. They wanted them to make them, the parents, look good. Could I challenge you as your parents? You let God take care of your reputation. You just do what's right for your children. Honor them, honor God, raise them for His glory. Let God take care of your reputation. That's what these Judaizers should have done. I think about this just as a little closing thought. I've always wondered about this when we've got this look and they say they may glory in your flesh. I've always wondered, sometimes we'll say we're proud of somebody, yet your pride is wrong. And I know of a pastor, he got reprimanded by somebody in his church. You shouldn't say you're proud. That's sin. He said, well, I'm grateful for him too, then. And so regardless of whatever you say, I don't care which term you use, I think we understand. We say, well, we're really proud of that young man. But whatever we use, let's glory in the Lord and the decisions and the actions that people do, not for your sake, not for my sake, not for a parent's sake, not for these Judaizers' sake, but for the glory of God. I've mentioned that little phrase before. We used to do it in Bible school. Why do you do the thing, or used to say it in Bible school, why do you do the things you do, and who do you do them for? Do you do them for the praise of men, or do you do them for the Lord? Could I challenge you to make sure your life is spent doing what you do for the Lord? Now, don't worry, don't mind some loudmouth preacher coming and getting on your case if you're not doing enough. Sometimes that's my job as a pastor. But when you do get convicted of it, don't do it because I said so. Don't do it just to look good in front of me. Don't do it to look good in front of your fellow church members. Whatever we do, be that we had a good breakfast yesterday, Eugene cooked. We've had so many people serving today in different classes. We've had great singing. We've had great playing. We've had all of these different things. But I hope that whatever went on, I hope this Sunday, like I pray every Sunday, happens from here on. I pray that it is done from the heart of people that want to please God and not please men. We've got enough men pleasers. We need to be God pleasers. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for this time to be in your book. And Lord, I pray that your book would be in us always. And I pray that this little message would instruct us, dear Lord, to remember, why do we do what we're doing? May we have a different outlook on it. May we have a different motivation. May we do it for the praise of God, not for the glory of men, and we'll thank you for it all. Our lady is going to begin to play, and if you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand together with us. As God speaks your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you've been one of those ones doing things for the praise of men. And I tell you, it gets me sometimes. I have to be careful, I tell you. And if that's you, would you make a vow to the Lord? Lord, help me keep my eyes on you, not worry about what other people are doing or thinking, but instead, may I glorify you. Maybe it's some other need you have tonight and you'd like to come and pray about it, then the altar's open for you. Brother Daniel's right down here in front. Maybe you're here today and you're saved and you're baptized and you'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Would you step out and come? Maybe you've never followed Christ in baptism, but you need to be. That's just something the Lord has shown you that you need to do. That's the first step of obedience after a person gets saved. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Would you step out and come? And then you're here tonight. Maybe you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. You've been living a life trying to do what's right in the eyes of men. You've been living trying to do what you should. But you see tonight that no matter how good you live, you can't live good enough. All are sinners, the Bible says, and we all come short of the glory of God. If that's you tonight and you realize that I'm not saved, I'm in trouble with the Holy God, I need to be born again, would you step out and come? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it has been a joy to be in the house of God all day today. And I trust that the Lord has done a good work in your heart. I'm so thankful for what He's given us here at our church. And every Sunday I feel like unworthy to be pastor and unworthy to be here. But it's just a joy to get to serve together with all of you. And it's a wonderful thing. I'm going to ask Brother Finley, if you don't mind, to slip back to the table. He's got a table back there. He's got a few books by Brother Hembrell that is the president of the mission. Maybe you'd be interested in that. Also, some cards back there that just a reminder to pray for the mission. And I appreciate you getting to meet him as well. Don't hold it against him. He's from Memphis. He isn't really. He's from over here. He's one of us. So we thank God for him. But you tell him you're praying for him in the mission field over there. And we're thankful that he's here. Hopefully you get by to see him. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff Wheels, if you don't mind, to come to the pulpit and pray for us as we dismiss. And as he comes, you pray one for another. And let's pray that God would put his hedge of protection around us as we go throughout our week and be a blessing to each other as you go out, and hopefully you'll get to talk to a few people who you haven't talked to. And why don't you continue to pray for Miss Sherry Shadden? She got home the other day, but you know she had that fall and bruised up her eye really bad, that around her eye, broke that eye socket. Keep her in prayer. And others were lifting up in prayer as well, and so I challenge you. Thank you for that. But Brother Jeff, pray for us, would you please? Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, what a great day it's been in the house of God. We thank you for the challenge of the Word of God here to live for you and serve you, keep our focus on you, do everything for you. Bless everybody that's in this service today. Give them safety going home. Encourage us, dear Heavenly Father, in our lives. Help us with the needs that we have, and just continue to bless this church and our vision, and help everyone get involved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.